This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, the host of The Missing Link, and I'm joined, as always, by the bubbly Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you today?
I am feeling a bit bubbly, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic. As always, fantastic. And I want to tell you, Micah, we have just wrapped up our three-part series on publishing to LinkedIn. And I know it was amazing what a response we got from our audience. I mean, if you haven't taken the time to listen through those previous three episodes on publishing to LinkedIn, please do so. We had Eric from South Africa who gave us some great insight into how the algorithm over at LinkedIn Pulse works. We had Katie Carroll, social media editor of the LinkedIn Pulse team, as our special guest who gave huge tidbits, right, Micah?
Oh man. My God. Yep.
And the thing that really always gets me, and it continues to just give me energy for the show, is that discussion group we have over on LinkedIn. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I just got three new notifications just today. It's blowing up over there. It's so engaged.
That's
what I want to call it. It's engaged.
It is engaged. And everyone is contributing. And that's what I really love, because we're on a journey on LinkedIn marketing together, folks. I mean, we really are. And that discussion group we have is hugely important as a way of commiserating and sharing on this journey together.
Oh, yeah. And they're doing, you know, look at what I just did and look at my results. Oh, well, why don't you try this? Literally, that's what they're doing now. So if you want to get into the LinkedIn profile in the program and get it working for your business, I absolutely recommend joining our super secret Missing Link group.
Well, Micah,
you want to know how to do it?
Yes, please tell all. How do they get to the super secret LinkedIn group?
All right, here's how you do it. Let me tell you. So you're going to take out, if you're in the continental United States, we have two ways to do it. Continental United States, you're going to text on your mobile device to 41411. That keyword is MyLink, M-Y-L-I-N-K with no spaces. If you are outside of the continental United States, you will simply send us an email at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And you will be glad you joined us. I am not kidding.
Absolutely. And I think it really is going to be helpful for the next topic we cover, Micah, to be a part of that group, because we really did a thorough job covering the mechanics and all the details about publishing to LinkedIn. But inevitably, we get the question, how do I draw traffic to those posts on LinkedIn, right? How do I get traffic to my profile? How do I get traffic to the things that I'm doing? Because at the end of the day, yay, we're marketers. We want attention. So I was thinking through this, Micah, and I thought, you know, who is someone at Copyblogger that has the most insight and experience in drawing traffic to your content? And you know who I came up with?
Who?
You got to love it. Sonia Simone. She is the chief.
Wild clapping over here.
I know, because she's awesome. She is the chief content officer of Copyblogger. She has her own podcast show called Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, which is absolutely awesome to listen to. Her last episode about the whole chocolate thing related to stats and stats on the internet was awesome to listen to. Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, by all means, you will just delight in listening to it. But more importantly is that she is someone who, on a very personal level, I think really understands the psyche of getting people to engage and act on the content that is written. You know, when I first came to Copyblogger, I'd always loved Brian Clark's work. I mean, I always thought Brian was just – and he is hyper intelligent, right? When you see Brian's writing, it's just like this is intelligence personified. But, you know, as much as Brian appealed to my head, it was Sonia who really appealed to my heart, if you will. She was able to write in such a way that it struck me on a very personal level. In fact, even before I met her, I was a huge fan of her writing because it really affected me on a very deep emotional level, which is surprising because of this. If you ever meet Sonia and I, we are the most different people in the world, right? She went to Berkeley. I went to Boston. I look like I work on Wall Street. She looks like she should occupy it. She has She has pink hair. I have no hair. I mean, we are different people.
Girl, boy. I know. I got
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But yet she is able to write in such a way that really elicits the response that content marketing is all about, to get people to act. So, Micah, when we come back from the break, we're going to bring Sonia Simone, Chief Content Officer, the host of Confessions of Pink Haired Marketer, a true expert on the ground building traffic to those blog posts, is what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And as promised, we have with us today our very special guest, Sonia Simone, Chief Content Officer of Copyblogger Media and the host of Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, which if you haven't listened to our latest episode of How to Avoid Getting Sucker Punched by Internet Facts, it is hilariously great. And Sonia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you. This is awesome. This is so much fun. I'm very glad you invited me. Thank you.
So I want to get right to the point. Sonia, have you ever posted yes. anything on LinkedIn Pulse?
No.
All right. Now, Micah, who booked her? Who booked her? What the heck?
You did, Sean.
Oh, that's right. I did. Okay. All right. Now, let me explain to the audience why we have so. Besides Sonia being amazingly awesome and highly experienced in getting traffic to content, the reason I wanted her specifically on the show is because of this. Just because the medium is different, in this case, publishing on LinkedIn, the rules don't change. And if you know the rules, you're going to be successful. And Sonia knows the rules, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, is that content marketing, and actually all marketing, is based on understanding people and understanding how they work and what makes them tick and what they respond to. And so people don't become a completely different species because they're on LinkedIn versus being on the open web. People are people are people. Now, context matters. So you're going to conduct yourself a little differently, just exactly the same way that you conduct yourself a little differently at work than you do when you're having, you know, Sunday dinner with your grandma. I mean, probably, you know,
right.
Most of us have a little bit of a different set of rules and set of context and set of behaviors for the different contexts, but it's still underlying. It's still psychology. People ask me all the time, how do I sell B2B versus B2C? You're still selling to people. You're still talking to people. You're still communicating with people. So, yeah, the rules are pretty much the rules. And what works in one place will tend to work in another place. You just have to pay attention, and you have to adjust and adapt.
So you wrote a post back several years ago called 5 Ways to Get More Traffic with Content Marketing. It's going to be on our show notes, something you wrote about for Copyblogger. So, you know, let's just talk about traffic building in general, and then we can kind of dive into your thoughts on LinkedIn. Because, again, right. I think it helps to know the broader context. So let's talk about just traffic building in general. You wrote something. Congratulations. Now what?
Yeah, I mean, traffic, the whole name of the traffic game is basically finding more people. So you have a certain number of people who come to your site. Sometimes it's a bit of a mystery how they got there. You know, they come from search, they come from social, they come from your mom sending your email to her, you know, colleagues, whatever it might be. If you're looking for more traffic, you have to look for a bigger crowd of people to get yourself in front of. So one of the things we teach quite a bit at Copyblogger is guest posting. And there was, of course, that whole slew of articles about how guest posting, quote unquote, doesn't work anymore because Matt Cutts was having a bad day and was really tired of guest post spam. That's a whole different conversation. But guest posting is a great way to get more traffic because you're going to a place where some people are gathered and you're putting your material out there to attract their attention, to show them that you have something interesting to say, and then to bring them back with a call to action to where you want to bring them back to. Normally that would be, you know, maybe your blog, even better, your email list, so they can get more good stuff from you. If they were impressed by what you put forward, they're going to want to get more. And so traffic in a nutshell is really about finding places where people congregate, putting yourself in a good light in front of them, and then giving them a call to action to pursue the conversation further.
Hmm. Now, in that post that I referenced, you know, one of the strategies talked about was how-to video. And that's one of the things I've really liked about LinkedIn publishing in particular is that you can embed video into your post, right? In fact, one of the examples we had on our group was someone who showed how to use the advanced search feature of LinkedIn using video. Video still works even if it's not on your site?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are people, I don't necessarily recommend this, but there are people who have extraordinarily lucrative businesses that are 100% on YouTube. Now, that's tricky. You know, I have to do my due diligence, and we should talk a little bit about digital sharecropping, because the rules for YouTube might change tomorrow. And then, you know, you don't want to build your business 100% on someone else's platform. You don't want to have your entire business on YouTube, because when YouTube changes the rules, you're going to have a bad, you know, month or two trying to reconstruct. But video is tremendous. Video really speaks to people. It lets people know who you are. It's, of course, great for a lot of different kinds of how-to. And anything that features your voice. So I love podcasting, but video is also true of this. I think if we can hear you, if we can hear the way you use language and your tone of voice, we start to create a better relationship with you. And so audio and video both, I think, are wonderful mechanisms for creating that rapport that is going to make it inviting for people to come back and consume more of your content and then do business with you.
So what are some other general ways of driving traffic? So we talked about some videos, we talked about guest posting. What are some other ways, just in general, of driving traffic to the content that you've created?
One of the big ones is to leverage social, and there's kind of two ways to do that. You can have a social presence, and you can get lots of followers, lots of fans, lots of likes, etc., and then get those people to come back to your site or your product or your offer. You can also create content that is shareable. You can create content people want to share. And in fact, even though Copyblogger right at the moment doesn't have a Facebook page, we get a ton of Facebook traffic because our content is optimized for people to share, and people share it like crazy on Facebook. They didn't really interact with our page that much, but we still get lots and lots of traffic from Facebook because the kind of content is things that people like to share, talk about, discuss, and then that funnels them back to us.
And I think this kind of goes to the bigger point too, though, is that why worry about driving traffic if you don't have the right content, right? I mean, in the post that I referenced before, you know, make sure your content doesn't suck. And I think that's huge because I think a lot of people get frustrated. They'll throw something up on whatever platform, be it their own site, be it on LinkedIn, whatever. They throw it up there, nothing happens. And like, oh, that really doesn't work because nobody came to visit it. And at the end of the day, isn't it really about generating the right content?
Yeah, this is what content marketing professionals call the hard part. you have to create. It doesn't matter if it's a podcast, video, text, you know, interpretive dance. It doesn't matter what the content is. It has to be worth reading, sharing, watching, listening to. Crappy video doesn't do anything for your business. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people, they look at the strategy, they look at the content types, they think, okay, I'm going to create some video, I'm going to create some podcasts, I'm going to create some blog posts, and then I'm going to create some posts on LinkedIn, and then the traffic will come. And we can talk about that a little bit because there are a couple of steps missing there. But fundamentally, if the content is thin, if it's weak, if it's not relevant to what they're thinking about, if it's not, you know, reasonably well crafted, and if it doesn't have a couple of fancy things like a good, solid, shareable headline on it, even if you can get it in front of that larger audience, it's very unlikely to do any business for you. And that's why, of course, now it doesn't work anyway, but, you know, people used to jam keywords into their content to make it work for the search engines. And so not only does it not work for the search engines, but even if it did, it doesn't work for people. It doesn't work for customers. It doesn't work for people making a decision to move forward with your product or your service. So the content has to work for that audience first, and then you optimize it for whatever you optimize it for. So maybe you optimize it to be a little more visible on LinkedIn or a little more visible in search, or you know, you play with the picture so it posts well on Twitter. Those are things you optimize once you have something worth consuming.
Now, I want to go through and start focusing a little bit more on LinkedIn, because what you just said really got me thinking about the kind of the role of publishing on somebody else's platform, be it Medium, be it LinkedIn, et cetera. So let me give you one idea and get your feedback on it. So I always tell people that go ahead and get your first 50 posts out because they're all going to suck, right? Just hurry up and write, get it done, because they're going to be horrible. However, what it will allow you to do is to find things that start to resonate. Now, most of the time we would say, put this on your own site, get them to your site, engage with them on your site. But if you are still trying to figure out what resonates with the audience, could publishing on LinkedIn in particular be a way to test concepts and ideas before you expand upon them on your own site?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea to use your social platform, because social content tends to be a little more ephemeral. It isn't always, but it tends to be, you know, it's not sort of there written in stone to embarrass you, just because it can be hard to find. Old content can be hard to find. I love that idea of using a social platform to play with ideas and just, you know, use that word resonate. It's so important, because although it's important to present yourself well, you know, don't have gross misspellings. Don't, you know, if English is not your first language, partner with somebody whose English is really solid, that kind of thing. That stuff's important. It's not as important as having that idea that resonates. You know, certainly, I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk is not the most polished speaker, but he's one of the most passionate. And he knows, he has a nose for ideas that are going to resonate and work for people. That idea that resonates, that, you know, connection, that kind of, and a lot of times you do go through quite a few. I mean, you have all these ideas and you think, oh, this is going to be, man, people are going to eat this up, and they just don't. And then something kind of funny, a lot of times it's something we take for granted because it's something we might have a strong ability for. We might be so expert in our topic that we're really good at something, some element of content. And we throw it out there almost as a, you know, kind of a filler. Well, I got to write something today. I'll write this. And people really go for it, because what's ordinary to us might be really exciting to them. And so, yeah, I love that idea. I think that's an awesome idea.
So let's say that you have gone through and you're refining your craft, and it truly is a craft. You're refining it. You're finding what resonates. You're starting to really populate your own site with meaningful, juicy, relevant information. And then you decide to start lifting it and putting it out there into the LinkedIn Pulse Network. And we did confirm in our previous series that duplicate content is okay. In fact, LinkedIn has no problem with duplicate content. They encourage it, actually. So let's say I start to take some of my really strong, relevant posts, and I decide to go to a third party, in this case LinkedIn, but it could apply to Medium. It really doesn't matter. It's a third party where I'm taking some content that I've either created new or probably something I've written, and I put it out there. What do I start doing? Why, first off, should I even start trying to drive traffic to that post on LinkedIn versus trying to get them directly to my site? Is there a rationale or reason to get them to that LinkedIn post first before I try to drive them over to my site?
I think, you know, there are a couple of reasons people do it. I think the most important is the audience of, and your audience is the collection of people who are paying attention to you on a certain topic. You need to go where they want to go. So if they want to connect and, you know, hang out with you on your site, that's great. That is a wonderful thing, because you control that site. You can, you know, that's something that you have a lot of control over, and you don't have to worry about changing algorithms, changing rules, that kind of thing. However, if that's not what the audience wants to do, there's no point trying to fight that tide. We have a community of writers at Copyblogger. are certified content marketing community. They're writers who study with us. They're kind of masters of their craft. We have even a certification that we give them. The best ones, you know, they can apply for certification. And so that community, I've talked with that community a lot about LinkedIn. Their customers very often really don't, they don't read blogs. They don't, they just, that's not part of their day. LinkedIn is part of their day. And right. So for their client prospecting, LinkedIn is where to go. It's where to bring. Now, very often those people, once the that professional has created the relationships on LinkedIn, has a good audience on LinkedIn, paying attention to them, if that person wants to move forward with the commercial relationship, normally they will go back to the writer's website and look at the content and look at the white papers and look at, you know, the email autoresponder. That'll be the step two. But step one, they're not to expect them to just go hang out on your blog. It's great if you can make it happen. Sometimes you can. If you can't, you got to meet them where they are. And where they are for a lot of professionals is LinkedIn.
Now, one other thing that occurs to me about why you should publish on LinkedIn is that you can create a new sense of authority, if you will, by publishing on someone else's network. And let me explain that. I think, and I know that, Sonia, you talk a lot about building authority, but one of the ways that you can get authority is certainly is that if I'm not familiar with you, your brand, your who you are, you know, the fact that it is in a medium that I trust, in this case, LinkedIn, maybe I could pay attention to. Maybe you are somebody I should be looking at, because people who say, hey, come and look at my site, well, there's a billion of them, right? You know, hey, come and look at my site. But the fact that it's in a place where there is some vetting, because it's a real person, right? You know, with a real picture.
Right? Yes.
And saying, no, I'm real and you can trust me. I am here. And then using that authority of LinkedIn is one way to at least open the door so that you can start building your own authority through your writing work. Would you see that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And LinkedIn has that special sauce of people recommending one another, which is, and recommending one another on a professional level, which is pretty, pretty powerful and pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, I definitely do see that. It's not really that different from going to a networking breakfast or, you know, having a business owners group that you go to, just with the benefit that you can weed out, you know, that one guy who's always trying to sell you commercial real estate like every single month. You can, so you have tools to manage that guy. Cause he's, you know, he's on LinkedIn too. He's everywhere, but, you know, and you, of course you reach, I mean, trying to reach people at a professional breakfast is wonderful. Maybe 20 people come, 40 people come, maybe 100 people come, 100 people on LinkedIn. It's so easy to get to 100 people on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has that scalability and of course your ability to reach an international audience. I mean, I was talking with one of my content marketers just last week and she has clients in India and clients in Scotland, clients all over North America, because she uses LinkedIn as her primary client prospecting tool.
Yeah, and we've seen that certainly in our discussion group. I mean, the number of international audience that we have is just striking to me. We have people in Germany, we have people in Australia, we have people in South America. I mean, I just look at it, and the nice thing is with LinkedIn, they do have different languages, right? So you can communicate. If English is not your first language, you can write in your native language, right? But I think the rules may not necessarily be different just because it's not English.
No, and I will give you a little bit of a tip that I have learned from my business owner friend who do have businesses in France, Hungary, Russia. What they tell me is they use Copyblogger and sites like Copyblogger as their crystal ball. And so very commonly, the same trends are going to hit languages that are not English, but they often will hit a little later. Just slightly later. It takes a while for the trend to populate. So they, especially my European, my friends who have businesses in Europe, they look at what's content trends that are happening right now. Podcasting, of course, is a huge hot one right now. And they use that as a forecast. So they get ready for the trend that's going to be coming in their language. Just be aware that if your first language is not English and you're doing business in a different language, you may need to wait for the trend to catch up with you. So just, you know, be aware of that. But normally they do, you know, they do populate out. All these tools work anywhere you have large collections of users. You know, every culture is a little different, of course. So Brazilian business people have different cultural norms than Dutch business people do. But it's, people are still people. You can use the same techniques. You just have to be thoughtful and sensitive about your own cultural context.
Now, let's us go to one more final kind of thought, which is I've gone through and I published and I using LinkedIn as my third party medium to get some maybe initial authority to start an initial conversation. Obviously, call to action in your post is huge to keep on drawing them to some sort of action, preferably to your site or your email list. Let's talk about you in particular, though. If you were to actively go out and start using LinkedIn for publishing of your own work, right? And, you know, you've built up a nice number of connections on there. You've obviously have a huge body of work that you can pull from. Let's say you take one of that piece and you put it out there. What would you personally be thinking is your next step? You know, I've published this out there. I put it into LinkedIn. I want to start using LinkedIn as a test trial to see if it can draw traffic, et cetera. What would you personally be thinking of as saying, what's my next step now that I've got this post in LinkedIn Pulse?
There's a pre-step that I want to make sure people are taking, which is think about what kind of professionals you're trying to attract with your content. So it's not, you know, it's not, sometimes it's just, I need prospects for my business, but think about, you know, for me, I appeal to a very particular kind of individual, that more professional, but not necessarily so buttoned up. I do have pink hair. So there is a certain kind of, but you know, there's a certain kind of, there's a certain kind of writer, there's a certain kind of creative professional. In fact, there's a certain kind of company that, like our company, I mean, we have all kinds of colors of hair. We have haired, you know, we have turquoise hair,
and
we have no hair, we have pink hair, and we have, you know, we used to have kind of a really cool rainbow parrot hair. There's companies that are like that. Right. There's companies where lots of people have crazy hair and tattoos and those tend to be, you know, creative companies, tech companies. So let's say I have my pink hair and I'm going after that kind of professional, somebody who works in that kind of environment, a creative environment, creative, technical, that kind of thing. So the first thing is I have to know who I want to talk to before I post anything. Who is it I'm trying to pull toward me? I think a lot of the LinkedIn content can kind of forget that, and they kind of go back to that Mary Kay, you know, anyone with skin kind of prospect. I don't advise that, you know, like you want to narrow it down a little. So let's try and focus it a little more. So I publish my post. The thing after that, the next step again that I think people could work a little harder or work a little smarter is have a place that you want to send them. Have a landing page that you want to send that person that communicates something really key, communicates a key idea and a key kind of a next step, and then send them into a content sequence. It could be very short, but let's say a white paper and a three-part email autoresponder sequence, or a manifesto. If you're, you know, creative people like manifestos, we like to complain about things. Send them to some content, some piece of content, and ideally a sequence of content. So the email autoresponder is a brilliant tool for delivering a sequence of messages to start to get that relationship rolling, start to get that conversation going. It's going to be different for every individual, every combination of what are your business goals, what values do you communicate? I think values are very important because we are so connected on the social web, because everybody is just trumpeting their values left and right. Are you paleo? Are you, where are you politically? Where are you, you know, in terms of whatever it might be? People are really leading with belief right now. So let people know, you know, because trust me, if they find out that your beliefs don't resonate down the line in your relationship, they're going to cool very quickly. So you might as well lead with it front and center and attract the people who resonate with you.
Micah, Is there this? Have you been writing this down? This is like awesome. This is gold.
I know.
I wish it wasn't just contained in our show, Micah. Okay. I mean, I'm glad that it is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm selfish, but you know, Micah, have you been writing? I mean, is there a place somebody can go to get this stuff? Because I'm blown away.
And I read this stuff every day, 3 pages of notes.
Where can people go, Sonia, to get this information? Because quite frankly, I can't reiterate this enough. LinkedIn is interesting. It is unique in certain cases, but it is not so different that the rules suddenly changed. Where do people go to find the things that work regardless of the medium?
There's a couple of things. There's free things. There's paid resources. The front and center, of course, you know, we do write about these things once in a while on Copyblogger. we are pretty focused on, we're pretty darned focused on what works with content and more to the point, content strategy, how the pieces go together. Because I think a lot of folks are brilliant. They're brilliant at LinkedIn, or they're brilliant at email, or they're brilliant at video. But these things can work together to, you know, and the whole is very much greater than the sum of the parts. When you start getting things working together is when you really start to see some results. So Copyblogger is your first step. We do have a whole library of free content strategy ebooks. That's pretty awesome. That's called My Copyblogger. So that's a next step. If you're really a content geek and you're a professional, it's important to your living to be really smart about content strategy. We do have a community of content marketers. We have both business owners who just want to be really, really smart about using content to get to their business goals. We also have lots of freelancers, lots of writers, lots of bloggers who have moved beyond that hobby blog to really having a blog as their business. So it's a really cool community. But the thing that they really share is they're willing to get a bit geeky about content and about content as a business strategy, not just content as something fun to share on the web. Because that's, you know, you can just do that by just having fun and going out and being creative. When you want to get strategic, then it's, you know, can be helpful to seek out some frameworks.
And, you know, I will tell you, the ability for us to provide certified writers as a recommendation, if you will, to business owners is huge. You know, Sonia, when we first started Copyblogger together, I was like, we need to have writers because everybody asked me, where can I go get a great writer? And the certification program that you created and mastered and run is absolutely one of the best places to get those people who've gone through that Copyblogger process. So, and I just can't recommend it enough. And quite frankly, because it helps.
Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead.
Micah knows.
Yeah, I do know I'm the liaison. And so for everyone in our audience, I will go ahead and I will put that into the show notes, but I'll also put that into the promotions into our LinkedIn group, our Missing Link LinkedIn group. So you can find all of that information there.
Cannot thank you enough, Sonia, for coming to share these pearls of wisdom, if you will, on how on traffic building. And I would encourage everyone to look at the show notes, to go through those resources, and by all means, to learn more by going to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer on the Rainmaker.fm network.
Yep.
After you listen to our show, of course. Don't go over there beforehand. You go there after. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. Micah, do you have any parting thoughts before we call it a day?
My only thing is really, really invite you guys to come over. I'm going to put all of this information into the promotions into our super secret Missing Link LinkedIn group. And again, you can join us real quick. Text us Continental United States to 41411 with the keyword MyLink, MYLINK. And if you're outside of the Continental United States, please email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm and you will be open to a treasure trove of information.
Sonia, I cannot thank you enough. And I know our audience appreciates
it. You're so sweet.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you for having me. I have a head now. My head is so big, I'm not going to be able to get up.
And everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch you next time on The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.